providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Those first two segments, I did spend a bit more time on the resource sector. So in the final two segments, I'm going to shift focus a little bit more and talk broad markets. It's something I've been talking a lot about this week simply because, well, precious metals, they're in a downtrend, continuing in that downtrend. But the broad markets are also very interesting. I am chatting right now with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana, one of the, I guess, biggest changes over the last couple of weeks when it comes to the broad averages is we are seeing a bit more choppiness. We have the S&P a little bit off of its highs. The NASDAQ is still a fair bit off of its highs when you compare it to some of the other markets. The Russell 2000, the small caps, those are still doing quite well. But it's not this, I guess, kind of boring market that just continues to trend higher, like we had seen really ever since the election. How does this impact the way that you're managing your portfolios in this market?
Right. I think that's a fair assessment, Corey, because as you mentioned, after the election, you had pretty much a sweet spot of in terms of market action, market conditions. And we called it, you know, as we talked several times, probably the best trading environment that I've seen in my career, many, many decades. So if that was easy money, you know, the 3 months after the election, as we talked about maybe starting a month ago or so, we're in a period where it's the money's going to be a little bit harder to come by. So it doesn't mean, as we've spoken about, that we see any indications of a major top, the risk of a major top or the risk of a major bear market starting anytime soon. But like I said, the easy money is over. And I think over the last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks has been evidence of that. So as far as our handling of that type of environment, we call it a two-way environment, so it's not just straight up. Our tactics have been a little bit more active, not just buying the dips, but also selling the rips into resistance, even putting on hedges into resistance as well. And also on the downside, not buying the slightest of dips, you know, but being a little bit more patient in considering that prices might certainly move down to more substantial lower support levels before, and it might be more prudent, more wise to be patient and waiting for those lower prices at this point. So we've been a little bit more active in the range and what we've been buying and where we've been buying it. And again, probably had more hedges on recently than we have in quite some time.
So you're putting on hedges, but you're not necessarily cleaning out any of your long positions. Does that mean, or if you could summarize your, I guess, general outlook, are you bearish? Are you bullish? Are you more neutral?
In the short term, neutral. Our risk model, which is an intermediate term risk model, is in a bearish position, has been since shifting south about 3 weeks ago. But our read of that signal right now, like I said, is not, it's not likely to be indicative of a major top or a major bear market, impending bear market here. More or less, probably, you know, many of the components within our model got extremely overbought, extremely extended, and it's more or less just gravity pulling it down a little bit. It's what we talk about sometimes as a good overbought reading. It's just a sign of kind of like a thrust in terms of whether it's breath or you're talking about momentum. It's a good it's a good initial thrust higher. But that has to be worked off, reset for some time before you can refuel and set yourself up for another leg up. So I think that's what we're doing right now in this two-way market, kind of refueling, resetting some of the sentiment levels that got pretty excessive and putting the market back into a position eventually where we think we see more new highs in the intermediate term.
So it is kind of that general, I guess, sentiment, more or less correction that you're waiting for, not necessarily price, where price can move sideways in a choppy nature, and sentiment and some of the technical indicators that were at overbought levels have their time to work back to some more normal levels to set up for another run higher. Let's also talk about the VIX, too, because the volatility that we have seen in the market, when you look at the VIX has been relatively boring. It's right around that 20 level. In all fairness, it's not nearly as low as it was 2, 3, 4 years ago when it was dropping into single digits. But the VIX has also been showing that, I guess, traders aren't that worried about a major market pullback right now. However, the VIX, again, is at generally higher levels than it was a couple years ago. So how are you viewing the VIX in this market perception?
Yeah, so volatility has been extremely subdued, like you said. Sometimes, like I mentioned before, sometimes when you get a spike up, it could be a good buy signal. When you get a rush of fear into the market, it could be a nice short-term, more clear buy signal. We haven't gotten that, so we haven't seen, in terms of the volatility indices, a good all clear sign in terms of a buy signal there. But we've seen in other areas, we've seen signs of complacency coming off and some of the bullish sentiment starting to subside a little bit. So I think actually the VIX, the volatility indices, not just on the S&P, but the Russell as well as the NASDAQ 100, the fact that it's remained subdued is actually fairly bullish sign for us in the sense that it's maintained this level basically over the last 12 months, and it has it keeps pounding against those support levels in the VIX around that 20 level. I think it's got a chance, and this could be a real bullish catalyst for stocks eventually here, at least for a while, if we can break down decisively below those that 20 level and below those lows on those other volatility indices. I think it could be a bullish catalyst for stocks and actually a nice little tailwind for stocks. So complacency certainly got too high and certainly can come down a little bit more. But I think the volatility indices remaining low isn't necessarily a warning sign at this point.
Let's also talk about the U.S. dollar, because the U.S. dollar, I feel like under the radar, has been rising this whole year. It bottomed pretty much at the very beginning of this year at 89.17. And as we're recording this later in the day on Thursday, making a run higher, trading just under that 93 level. So that's a fairly big move for a currency, especially the U.S. dollar. However, we do need to consider that back in late March of last year, it was 103 on the dollar index. So a lot of volatility in the dollar. What's your assessment of this dollar's rebound? Has it put in a bottom, or is this just more or less a bounce in a downtrend?
Yeah, in our assessment so far, there's nothing to prove that, you know, we're shifting out of the downtrend that it's been in for, you know, over a year now, like you mentioned. There might be rounding out and entering some sort of a trading range, or maybe it is putting in, you know, a basing pattern to reverse higher. In our view, the pace of advance has not been such that it's convincing to us that we're moving back higher. So until proven otherwise, we are selling the dollar into rallies resistance. We actually just shorted it yesterday. A decisive move up here, a decisive close up here towards that 93 level would probably prove us wrong here in the near term. And we probably wouldn't wait around for that, for a reversal there. But that said, if we do get a swift reversal back below, say, that 92.60-ish level, 92.75 level, we could have a false breakout here and set the stage for the next leg lower in the dollar. So I think basically the long story short is the benefit of the doubt is still to the downside in the intermediate term in the dollar until proven otherwise. And it very well might prove us otherwise, but for now, you know, we're selling the rips and looking for continued lower prices in the dollar. Again, with the caveat that a decisive close where we're trading right now might be enough to at least stop us out of that dollar short and reassess maybe the potential for at least further upside in the dollar in the short term.
Okay. Has this dollar's bounce, at least recently, put pressure on commodities, do you think? Has that been one of the biggest impact on this downtrend that we've seen, or at least this correction in base metals, commodities broadly?
As you know, we don't like to assess reasons for market moves generally, but I think it's reasonable to assume that much of the move lower recently, much of the softness in across the commodity space, as well as some of the resource-laden equities and foreign markets, might very well be attributed to, you know, the strengthening of the dollar, which again makes this juncture perhaps a key juncture for not only the dollar and other commodities, but you know, other anti-dollar assets in the commodity space, in obviously other currencies, and even in some of the equity land. So it's a development we're watching pretty closely here in the short term, and could be either a bullish or bearish catalyst depending on which way the dollar goes here.
What are some of the key levels to watch for the dollar on the upside here if it does keep trending higher?
If we decisively break above, like, say, this 92.75 level, then we're looking up, you know, around 94.5 to 95 would be our next spot. So not materially higher, but certainly opens up in the near term further upside, which could continue to, you know, put pressure on those other assets that we talked about.
All right, let's wrap this up by talking about oil, because oil has been going through a fairly significant correction. Oil has been really on a tear for the last, well, in that low in November at 33.64. It ran, really doubled up to the recent peak in early March of almost $68. But from that level, it's pulled back a fair bit. As we're recording this, it's under $60 a barrel, trading around 58.45. So a fairly significant pullback, but there is some support right around this level. What's your outlook for the oil market?
Yeah, we've been, you know, buying the dips. There haven't been many dips in oil, but in the near term, we've been buying the dips in oil, and especially in the energy stocks. So that's been one of the more consistent plays, especially since the election time, is buying every little dip in the energy stocks, whether it's energy services or the producers, whatever. It's been a good trade, and some of those areas are under pressure right now, and testing really a key level here, especially in even in crude itself, the commodity itself. I think is testing a key spot right here. If we do break down from here, I think it opens up at least another 10% of downside, if not more. So it's a key spot here. Like I said, with the dollar, we got a key spot here in crude oil as well. So a key juncture perhaps in the short term across many of the financial markets, which makes it an interesting spot right here.
Yeah, it does. Overall, though, you don't really have a focus on any sector within the oil sector. Hey, it sounds like you're just playing it broadly.
Well, we play ETF, so we don't do individual stocks at all for our clients. So we've been playing the oil services via OIH, equipment and services via the XES ETF, which has been spectacular, as well as, you know, the broad XLE, which we are still long. So we're still long all those. We've been buying the dips, a couple of them under a little bit of pressure right now. So we'd like to see them hold these areas and set up the potential for another up leg, which certainly if crude oil holds in this area, certainly would be a big help toward producing that next up leg for energy stocks.
Perfect, Dana. Nice chatting with you, buddy. I appreciate that general assessment of the markets, the dollar, and crude. I'll be chatting with you again in another couple weeks, but we definitely have seen a bit more volatility creep into these markets. But again, you're still not taking that more bearish outlook. Dana, thanks for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure.